Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome once again to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast. It's the only podcast that grows with you through all seven stages of your journey as a founder. And I'm your host, Scott Ritzheimer. And I want to talk about what I call the star player paradox, which is that the better you are as a player, the harder it can become to be an effective captain. And nowhere is this more painfully obvious than with founders in the professional services world, and in particular, as you'll hear us discuss today, attorneys. And so what happens at this stage, you've had success, you've built your practice, you're exceptional at what you do, your talent, your intelligence, your ability to solve problems, better than at least the rest of who you're competing against. That's how you got to this point. That's why clients hire you, not some generic firm or other business. They hired you. But now you've got a team and you're still operating like you did as a solopreneur. And that's not going to work anymore. So today's guest is here to help us out, here to help us figure out how to move from just being that star to really building a thriving enterprise. And he's got some experience doing it. He's got over two decades of experience helping service providers break through this exact trap. Gary Mitchell has spent over two decades with lawyers in particular, helping them reshape their practice into businesses that work for their lives, not against them. Drawing on three decades of experience in business strategy, communications, and leadership, he supports lawyers building efficient teams, modernizing operations, and mastering skills law school never taught them. As founder of the OnTrack Coach and creator of the Law Firm Accelerator Program, Gary helps managing partners and law firm owners to accelerate their firm's profitability. Oh, well, Gary, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here.
Nice to be here, Scott. I'm excited to speak on this subject for sure.
Fantastic. Well, Gary, you kind of opened with this at the start of the show, but it's safe to say that attorneys, especially the successful ones, are pretty sharp. These are highly intelligent, highly skilled individuals, highly successful in building their practices, many of them from the ground up. But for some reason, they hit a wall and they hit it hard. What happens, maybe even psychologically, when these star players, if you will, find themselves having to step into this captain role and lead a team? Why do so many smart founders often become poor managers?
Well, I'll put it in the words of one of my more senior clients along the way. Like, I now only work with, I've niched and niched further to work with law firm owners. But a couple of years back, I was working with a senior partner with an international firm. And he says to me on a call, coaching call one day, he goes, "Why is it that the best lawyers usually make the worst business people?" And we both had a chuckle with that. And I said, it really comes down to this. The skills that make for a great lawyer, the analytical, skeptical, all those, fine-tuned skills, that's the reason why we hire lawyers, go against everything that's entrepreneurial, right? Being entrepreneurial is about taking risk. It's about trying things, right? It's more of an art than a science, where, perfection is the name of the game with the law, right? The letter of the law, that's that expression, the letter of the law. Although there is no such thing as perfection, lawyers are constantly striving for it. Whereas entrepreneurs, we know, right, innately, that the biggest successes come from our mistakes and learning and trying things. And it's really hard. I often say to them, you've got two hats to wear. You've got the lawyer hat, and, I'm not here to change that or assist with that. Maybe client service, but not being a lawyer, the actual art of practicing law and being a lawyer. I'd have nothing to do with that. I'm here to help you with your owner hat, your entrepreneurial hat, and helping you create that mindset. One of the largest challenges for lawyers, and I said as we were like warming up to the call, to the recording, I said, there's no difference between lawyers and your average entrepreneur, but it's like 10 to 100 times magnified. All the fears, the apprehensions, letting go of control is the biggest challenge they have. When they know they can do something ace, right, and have it, and that's what you alluded to that with your introduction, right? That's why the clients keep coming back to them. They're amazing at what they do. They build this reputation. So for them to grow, they have to leave the silo of perfection and enter a growth category, and that means letting go of control. and it's really, really hard for them. I mean, that as a coach, that's probably one of my biggest challenges is helping them over time let go. But I've got solutions and strategies for that, right?
Yeah.
You know, it starts with leadership. And the biggest thing I've learned over the years, and it kind of goes back to like Steve Jobs, his whole philosophy about leadership. I do a 360 or a SWOT analysis at the beginning, right? Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. I'm old enough to know the old school of thought on this. And it was pick up your socks with your weaknesses. You got to fix them, right? And then Steve Jobs came around. I mean, he's my number one guru when it comes to business, leadership. And he said, no. You master your strengths, whatever they are. And then you build your team around those strengths, filling in the gaps left by the weaknesses. And it's brilliant. I'm going to give you two very specific examples because not every client is the same. So one client loves being a lawyer. He loves fighting for his clients in the courtroom. He's a litigator. Loves it. I mean, it's passion. As much as this is my passion for coaching, his passion is advocating for his clients. I'm basically running the firm for him right now. He doesn't want to do it, but that's fine. He knows his strength, right? Mm. So we're building the team around that. So he's got a different model. Now, the flip side of that, the complete opposite is the lawyerpreneur who really could leave the law altogether, the law side of it, delegate all the work. And he's got that entrepreneur bent. It's dying to get out of him, right? And he wants to play more owner and entrepreneur role. So again, we're going to build around his strength and his passion, and his team is going to look different. The ideal that I follow, Scott, is that starting at the top and whichever model they're going to use, if they're going to be running the firm or they're going to be having a management team run it or partners, right? There's no one size fits all ever. I've never espoused that solution. Is you get everyone starting at the top functioning at their highest level, right? And you bring that down throughout the entire organization. And we'll get more into the scaling part, I guess, with some of your other questions. But like, to me, this stuff is simple. Simple works. As human beings, we complicate things for ourselves. And it's like, because it's always been done this way, right? The old school model of building a law firm doesn't mean you have to continue building it that way. This is yours. And that's the biggest thing, the mindset of an entrepreneur. Like, as an entrepreneur, you know it's yours. But as a lawyer, you've been conditioned your entire life to do it the same way that it's always been done. Like, I mean, it is drilled into you from law school. This is precedent, right? Mm-hmm. This is the way it's done. And it really conditions the mind. So a lot of the work I'm doing is on the mindset, shifting the mindset, looking at it from a different angle. And you're right. They are very intelligent. That's why I love working with them, because if you give them the right direction and the right guidance and they are open and they're taking that guidance, they learn very, very quickly. Right.
Yeah.
I love seeing that light come on. Right.
Yeah.
It's a sense of relief. Like, oh, I can do this. I mean, it's an incredible, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I love building things, but I get a chance to help build things for other people as well. So it's not just what I'm building for myself. It's building for everyone else. It's a great way to make a living.
It's awesome. Gary, so there's really only one reason to build a team around you, and that's to do more than you can do on your own, right? And there's lots of, or have them do more and you be able to do less, but with whatever time you want to allocate to it, you're being able to leverage other people's time and expertise. So one of the things though that generally has to come with that is you have to grow it beyond what you can do on your own. And that takes a different kind of intentionality. So you talked about an owner's mindset. How does this kind of entrepreneur's mindset of not just having the people, but growing the firm, how does that come into play?
Okay, so the formula I use, and again, I try to keep it simple. You get the right people in the right roles, and you build systems. That's how you scale, okay? Simply put, I call it the plug and play. You plug the right people into the right systems and press play. So as one of my clients, on an early call, I brought up McDonald's And he left and he said he worked at McDonald's in high school. And then as he became an owner, he's been an owner for over 20 years now. He goes, I want to build the McDonald's of law firms. I said, we're going to get along great. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I said, I'm sorry, I'm comparing a hamburger to law. He goes, no, I get it. I get it. It's like they perfected how to build, how to replicate the speed and quality of this product again and again and again, no matter who was making it, no matter who it was, where it was in the world, right? That's the secret. We get the systems, we get the right people. That's critical, right? And then we plug them in. Now, another ingredient, when let's break that right people down to be more specific, because I have always believed attitude is responsible for 99% of it. When you have the right attitude, when you're nimble, when you thrive in a changing environment and are not afraid of it. Because the thing is, Scott, as you grow, as you know, right? This is what you specialize in your podcast. The life cycle of a business, any business, goes through many different changes. You need people that can move with you, ideally, right? Otherwise, you've got the employee round table or the revolving door, right? If you've got people that have to have things the same, can't change, don't want to be a part of change, that's going to put up several barriers along the way. So getting the right people, people who thrive in creating innovation, thrive in change, they're nimble, and they strive for excellence at every time.
Yeah.
Hi there, this is Scott. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to get back to the show in just a few seconds, but first I wanted to let you know about my brand new Founders Evolution Quiz. If you're a founder, business owner, or CEO who feels overworked by the business you lead and underwhelmed by the results you're getting, you're doing it wrong. Succeeding as a founder all comes down to doing the right one or two things for right now. So take the quiz today at foundersquiz.com. Again, that's foundersquiz.com. And in just 10 questions, you can figure out what stage you're in so you can focus on what's going to work and say goodbye to everything else. Now, back to the show. That right people thing is so important because I've found that really the defining question of this stage for most folks is actually what's wrong with these people? Because you start hiring folks and it's usually mostly our fault. Like we hire by pulse and proximity.
Yes.
You know, if there's someone who meets the minimum criteria and is willing to work for us, it's a yes. How do we kind of distinguish between what's wrong with these people and what's wrong with how we're managing these people?
Okay, well, first of all, I hear two questions because that's another magic pill. If you get the right people, you don't necessarily have to manage them. They have the self-discipline. They have the work ethic. They're going to manage themselves. I mean, sure, you have when you get the right people, there's more leadership than management involved. Management is required when you need to pull people or push people. Right. If you get the right people and the right systems, there's a lot less of that. And sometimes not even any required. They're going to do the best job they can because that's their nature. That's the way they approach everything. So when you get the right people, it also makes leading or managing much easier. Right. You're not babysitting. You're not trying to convince or persuade people to do things.
Right.
And the bare minimum. And you just described my latest client, my biggest client I've ever had in 20 years, to a T. Like it's almost like he's a make work project and he's taking on these, it's been a year, let me just say. And he's finally come to on Tuesday morning, our call, he's finally come to the conclusion I made. I just said to him, I won't mention any names, but I just said, okay, this is the core of who you have now. This is the minimum bar moving forward, right? Like I'm not overseeing HR, but I am influencing it to a great degree because You nailed it. It's like, do you have a pulse? Are you close? Can you make it into the office? you know, and it's like, that's not the standard you set for yourself.
No.
So like where it starts at the top, we have to replicate that throughout. That's how you create culture, right? That's how you create a winning culture. I know these people are out there because, you know, the other thing I know is that there's a lot of terrible cultures. There's a lot of unhappy lawyers and paralegals out there. With the environment they're in. And by creating a more magnetic culture, a culture that is about innovation, that is about excellence, that is about teamwork, It's no accident. I'm wearing my Toronto Blue Jays jersey today because it's I'm just the last 2 weeks, professional and personal has crossed. I'm watching one of the best sports teams I've ever seen in my life. Not by the way, yes, they're playing very well, but I mean as a team. Like they're standalone leaders, and yet they're coming together as a team like I've never seen. And I'm seeing that now with some of my new clients. Like the team, the management team is really coming together. It's like ego at the door. What's the goal? What's our focus? The clients, right? That's the end game. I don't have to be right. You don't have to be right, but let's get it right together, right?
Yeah.
And it really is just so much. It really is about mindset. I keep coming back to that. And, you know, I read something, some self-professed business guru or said, he says, it's not about mindset. It's about tools and systems. I'm like, you're wrong. You're wrong. Because you don't get the right tools or systems unless you have the right mindset.
Yeah,
and you don't 100%. Get the right people unless you get the right mindset.
Yeah. And you don't use either of them the right way unless you have the right mindset.
You're right.
100%.
And you're not open to changing as the circumstances change. And what's one thing that we know is a constant in this world today?
Change.
Absolutely. By the second now with AI.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Literally.
For the time
that we're talking, AI has already improved tenfold. Right?
Yeah.
So
Gary, there's...
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So there's this question. I want to make sure we have time for it because I'm very interested to see what you have to say here. And the question is this. What is the biggest secret that you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing you wish everybody watching or listening today knew?
Okay. That's very easy, Scott. Anything's possible. The greatest achievements of mankind, peoplekind, have been achieved by thinking big, thinking out of the box, thinking differently, thinking. Anything is possible. Like you come to a problem. If you're focused on the problem, you're going to stay in the problem, right? If you come to the problem that with the mindset, there is a solution here. I don't know what it is right now, but there is a solution here. And then you build a team and you focus on the solution, you will come to it. You will find it. I'm no mind reader or a future provider. Like I can't see the future, but I've seen this in action every single time in my own life and career and those of my clients. So that's the one thing. Believe in yourself. You know what you need to do. Like, you know, if there's things to improve or delegate, right? Some things we do need to improve. We can't delegate. Okay. But knowing the difference.
If you start out
with anything is possible, what do I want to create? What is the life? What does it look like? What's my why? What gets me out of bed in the morning? And don't let go just because it's always been done this way, right? I mean, think nothing would have ever changed or been created. No inventions would have been made if people always just kept doing the way they were done, right?
Yeah.
It goes back to ice. From harvesting ice in the north to refrigerators, right? And all the steps in between. And none of the people involved in each iteration went on to the next. It was somebody new.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying something a different way.
Yeah. Fantastic. I love that. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on the solution with the belief that anything is possible is so good. Gary, there are some very successful attorneys and law firm owners that are listening to this, and they've been looking for someone who really understands their industry and how to move forward. Where can they find more out about you and the work that you do?
On Track Coach, no K, double C, ontrackcoach.com. And there's no pressure. Like I love to talk to lawyers and attorneys about their challenges. They're very similar. At this stage, not much surprises me because there's a pattern, right? And I mean, how many times am I saying to my clients, you're not alone. This is a very common challenge. And I've seen this before. So don't feel bad about yourself. Don't get down on yourself. You're not alone. It's low pressure. I do a 30-minute consultation to dive in, find out where they're stuck. If there's a fit, do they like my style? And are they open and willing to take the advice? So that's, it's a very soft, down-to-earth approach.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you, Gary. Just a privilege and honor having you here today. Really appreciate your time. And for those of you watching and listening, you know your time and attention mean the world to us as well. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did, and I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast. I hope this episode gave you exactly what you need for your stage right now. If you want to discover what stage you're in, take our 10-question Founders Evolution quiz for free at founderskiz.com. That's founderskiz.com. It'll pinpoint exactly where you are and give you tailored tips to move forward and reach that next level in your journey as a founder. If you got something out of today's episode, would you do us a favor and share it on social media? Just grab a quick screenshot on your phone, text it to a friend, or post it on your favorite platform. Tag us and use hashtag StartScaleSucceed. I'd love to see your posts. You can also head over to scalearchitects.com/podcast to check out more episodes tagged by your stage so you can focus on what matters most right now. Don't forget, subscribe, rate, review. It helps us to reach more founders like you, and it means a ton to me and my team. So let's keep starting, scaling, and succeeding together. I'll see you in the next episode.